I would like you to turn with me to Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Some of you will know that a few of us have been away to a conference up at Cliff College in Derbyshire. And during this conference, where about 200 of us were met together, more than that, we had visitors from outside, but a stable number of 200 were together. It was wonderful to see the way that God kept his precious promises and fulfilled his word to many, many scores of people there. And how tremendous it was. And I remember an occasion, one night it was, when a whole company of them responded unto the love of Jesus. And one young lady, I would like to guess her age, I suppose she was somewhere in her 20s, I would think. And I was walking about at the front when everybody was all finished, and she suddenly got out of her knees and up off her knees, and she grabbed me and hugged me tight. And when she let me go, she jumped up and down like a Jack in the Box or a Jill in the Box, I suppose. And she said, "Oh," she says, "I feel clean. I feel clean." Do you? Do you? To feel clean. It's a wonderful thing. I came back from the conference, and because I hadn't had a chance sometimes so much as to eat, and sometimes so much as to sleep. One night they had to push me in through the window in the ladies' sluice to get me through into bed because I was locked out because I was so late. But I crawled into bed. Don't you tell them at Cliff College, will you? It's all right. All everybody else was asleep. And I crept through and got into bed. And because I hadn't had any time, though there was plenty there was plenty of hot water there and there were baths there, I came home and I felt hot and sticky and dirty. I said to my wife, "I'm going to have a bath. I'm going to have a bath." And so I had a bath after about a week and crawled into bed a little earlier than I had been for some time. And it's on this great subject of being clean that I want to talk to you tonight. To be clean. I can understand that girl jumping up and down. She grabbed the first thing that was there. It was me. There was another girl on the floor there weeping. I said, "Here, go and cuddle her." So she got down on the floor beside this other girl that was weeping, and she cuddled her. Praise the Lord. For she was finding it difficult. I don't know why she was finding it so difficult, because I wasn't dealing with her. Before the end of the conference, she was as clean and as pure and as glorious as anyone else. And that was a wonderful thing. And I want to read in this book of Ezekiel something about being clean. And if you read in the 36th chapter with me, we'll have to break into what is a sort of a long story, into verse 19, and it's God speaking. In verse 19, "I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way, and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, 'These are the people of the Lord, and had gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. And so I would like to go on, but I've selected this portion right out of this chapter, because as you will see, it's about being clean. Now, in verse 28, you will see that there's a reference to fathers. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Now, it may be that you've come through church circles that sometimes talk about the fathers, the early fathers. I'm not going to take this in reference to prophecy. I'm going to take it in reference to us as a company here. And you might have heard of the early church fathers. That is, those great men of God in the beginnings of things. We can read about a lot of them. As we turn into the Acts of the Apostles, for instance, let's keep our fingers in there where we've been redone, coming right back there before so very long. And you will remember that in the days of our early church fathers, listen to one of them, Peter. from which they try to get the word Pope or Papa or the Father of the Church. That's right. The Roman Catholics getting it all wrong. But we see that he was a true Church Father. No doubt about that. And if we read in the Epistle of Peter, listen to him. This is what he says in his first epistle. Now, the first letter that Peter ever wrote will tell you how the first fathers and all the early church used to live. And what they spoke of. Look in the first letter of Peter and the first chapter. It says, "As he which hath called you is holy," I'm looking at verse 15, "so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And it says this in verse 22, "You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently." And this is the way the early fathers used to talk. Praise God. That's only one of them. We could turn to another one of them, John. And we could read it in his first letter, his third chapter. And he used to talk like this. This is how they used to talk. "Little children, you love one another. He that's born of God doesn't commit sin." This is the way he used to talk. He used to talk about walking in the light and being pure. Or if you take what Paul said, he used to talk about living in such wonderful love and holiness and not committing sin and all things like that. It was a wonderful, wonderful church in the beginning, in the early days. I don't know whether you know a church like it today. I sometimes wonder whether many people today would have been accepted in the early church. I really do. You see, these people in the early church were a great and a wonderful people. And if we go back now to Ezekiel chapter 36, you will find that the Lord talks a lot about his own name. Look at verse 20. We're back in Ezekiel 36. And it talks about profaning my holy name. God had a wonderful and a holy name. And he said, these people, they made my holy name profane or common. And you know that the great name of God is very common today. You hear it. There isn't one of us, I expect, in this room, but has heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ used in the most utmost profanity and commonness. Used for swearing. I've heard people stand up and testify and say, the only time I ever heard the name of Christ was in an oath. Swearing. And God said that it was his people that had made that holy name common. He said it was. You've made my name common. People aren't regarding my name as holy, do they? In your shop, in your school, in your college, in your factory, on your farm, do they? Now, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to understand these great things. And you see, God gave the early church a great and a wonderful name. For the sake of that name, he says in verse 23 of Ezekiel 36, "I will sanctify my great name, which you have profaned or unsanctified or made common." Profaned, unsanctified, made common among the heathen. which ye have unsanctified in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. In other words, this is what Paul, what the writer is saying. He is saying this, that when people see that you lived the life of a Christian, when people see that you really are Jesus' people, instead of just hearing you sing about his name, or talk about his name, or tack it on to the end of a list of things you want to ask him for and call it prayer, when they see that you really are living this life, then they'll believe. And God says, this is what I'm after. The thing that I'm after is this. I am going to make you live the life that I want you to live. You see, he's given us a great name. The greatest name that God has ever given to man is the name Jesus. That's the greatest name that God has ever given on this earth. Never been a greater name than Jesus. Jesus Christ. And God and the Holy Ghost has come down here on this earth to sanctify that great name among the heathen. That's where you live. That's where you work. They're all heathen. That is, unless all in your household are Christians. Why, you know what I mean. This is where we live, out there among the heathen. And God says he's going to sanctify his great name. It's a terrible and a tragic thing, beloved, that people out there don't know the power and glory and wonder of that name and the person who bore it. Of course, they believe all about Jesus being born in the manger at Bethlehem. Of course, they believe all about Jesus dying on a cross on Good Friday. They believe all about that. But do they love him? Do they worship him? Do they? They don't. They take that name in an oath, and I tell you why. They find freedom to do it. Because of the way supposed Christians live. That's right. Now, beloved, let us look together into this great chapter of Ezekiel 36. Because here we have the wonderful truth that God shows us concerning this thing. And in verse 26, we see that God is dealing with the heart. Always, beloved, I want to say this, it isn't a matter of a person receiving a name. It isn't that. It is a matter of a person receiving a heart. This is the big thing. The name is a name for a heart. For a heart is obviously the heart of the person. And the person who bore that name, Jesus, had a glorious, glorious heart. It was quite a new heart. Quite different from any other hearts, amen, spiritual, that had ever beaten on this earth. It was a new heart. Glory. It was a heart, beloved, that was tender and pure and clean and holy and wonderful. Glory. It was also very, very precious, beloved. And it's concerning this. And I want you to see, if you see in verse 25, you will find the word clean, clean, cleanse. Is that right? And if you look down in verse 29, you will find, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And right in the middle of cleanness, there is the new heart. Right in the midst of cleanness, there beats a new and wonderful heart. And I want to tell you, beloved, you cannot be clean unless you have a new heart. Cleanliness is not given for old hearts. Forgiveness can be, and I want to tell you this, if you've made a decision to become a Christian, if you have said, I want to be a Christian, you cannot be a Christian unless you have a new, pure heart inside you. This is the way that you have to come, beloved. And so, well, this is a very, very wonderful thing that God wants to do for us all, to give us a new heart from heaven, a new gift from God, and have forgiveness upon forgiveness. But oh, to have a heart that beats and it's all clean and it's all pure and it's all lovely and it's all wonderful. You see, beloved, with that holy name of God, there must be a new heart inside. Amen. You know, sometimes I meet people who they're expecting probably a baby to be born, perhaps. And soon as they know this, they start thinking of a name. Soon as they know the little heart's beating, they start thinking of a name. If it's a boy, we'll call it James. If it's a girl, we'll call her Jemima or something like that. You see, they start choosing a name for the heart that's beating there. They start choosing a name for the life that's going to come. You understand this? That's true. Now I want you to understand this, and you must understand this from heaven. I meet so many people who struggle. They want to be pure. And you don't really want to be a Christian if you don't want to be pure and holy. Christianity isn't a way of getting to heaven on the cheap, living your own way on earth. It isn't a sort of an escape hatch from hell. Christianity is a life that has to be lived in a new name, with a new heart. And God is wanting to put new hearts in the men and women. And you can have a new heart. A great new gift from God. Not an old heart that's still fountaining out its filth and its uncleanness, and you struggling away and breaking your heart and wanting to be a different person and can't be. But a new heart that fountains out love and joy and sweetness and softness and tenderness and all the glorious things that make us want to have Jesus Christ. This comes out of the heart. Jesus said it. He said, out of the heart comes an evil eye. If you've even got an evil eye, you look upon people evilly to consume them on the lusts that are inside you. Look upon them evilly to punch them, hurt them, stab them, do them injury, talk about them, rob them of their good name. Be critical. You've got an evil eye. Your eye looks out what's in your heart. Jesus said it, out of the heart proceeded blasphemies, adulteries, fornications, thefts, murders, uncleannesses, an evil eye. This is what Jesus said. Do you believe Jesus? This is why, when God is going to move in his great new covenant, and we're on new covenant ground here, it's what God's going to do in the future yet for his people, when the new covenant reaches them. They rejected it in Jesus Christ. We have accepted it in Christ. If we are his, it's going to work out in the future for them. But we're in it now, as Jesus said, the new covenant's in my blood. Drink it. Amen. That we can have it in this great and wonderful life, beloved, that he gives this to us if we can have it, if we want it, and you can have it. And I want to say again, let me repeat it, if you have decided that you want to be a Christian, you've got to get this new heart. This is your first step. Good thing to make a decision. But now you've got to come and receive what God has to give you. You don't get it all when you make a decision, I've discovered. I've discovered that you make a decision, and then you go on, and God gives you the things beyond if you'll be obedient. It's a silly notion to get it in your head that you sort of make one decision and now you're okay. A silly notion. Let's get it right out of our heads. It's a qualification once we make a decision. But the Lord brings us into all this glorious thing. You see, beloved, God is aching to show to the world who he is. They blaspheme him. They say all sorts of things about God. But simply because we won't let him. I've heard companies of people stand up and testify with awe and wonder that now they can see what God does. Now they can see God, they say. Now they see Jesus Christ at work for the first time in their lives. Beloved, it comes out of the heart. It'll come out. What's inside your heart will come out. The heart is a fountain of uncleanness until it is all renewed. You can't stop it. It's no good getting a whip and whipping yourself and taking communion every morning or saying your prayers four times a day or what it is. You can't stop it. Can't stop it. And the Lord Jesus is speaking, beloved. And listen to what he says, verse 25 of Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Where do you get clean water from? Why, I was at a baptismal service the other day. We had two wonderful baptismal services. I think they were even better than the last one we had here. Only last Sunday, wasn't it? Or was it the Sunday before? Fortnight ago. It was in a lovely, cool, clean, I hope it was clean, flowing stream running down through Carver in North Derbyshire. It was pretty cold. I didn't do the baptizing. It flowed down from the mountains there, but it really wasn't clean. I looked in and there were bits of old leaves going down, mud that got stirred up. It was a good idea, it got washed down as the current kept flowing, but I saw some old weed and I saw all kinds of stuff, and I advised everybody to keep their mouths shut as they were going under the water and not breathe in. It wasn't clean water. And anyway, that's not what God's talking about. If God's going to have clean water, uncontaminated water, where is he going to get it from? I lived in a village in the south of England. Yes, we're south now, aren't we? Southeast of England. Which way do I point to that? But anyway, I lived down here, and it was a lovely village. If ever you're round Maidstone in Kent, you run out to a place called Lewes, L-O-O-S-E, Lewes it's spelled. You run out there, and you'll find a lovely little village there. I happened to be a pastor there for a few years. in a Baptist church. And there was up in the village there was the sort of village pump and well where everybody used to go. One day I walked down to the village, there were notices posted up everywhere. Not to be used. Unfit for human consumption. Great hue and cry had gone out through the land. I think they were doing this all everywhere. I don't know whether it really was a trick to get people to take company water so they could charge them a little more for rates or not. I'm not so sure. But there it is, I suppose. You could find that most water was impure anyway. And they stopped them drinking it. It's got a great stream flowing down through the village. It's a lovely little place. But they wouldn't let them drink it. In fact, the street was called Well Street, but they wouldn't let them go to the well and use the water anymore. They had to have all the roads dug up, pipes laid in, simply because the water was impure. You can't get clean water, apparently. Where is it coming from? If we're going to be sprinkled with pure water, where is it coming from? You will remember that in John chapter 19 we are told that when Jesus was crucified, it says the soldiers came in verse 32 and they broke the legs of the first thief and of the other thief which was crucified with Jesus, because that was to shock them and hasten their death as though they hadn't suffered enough. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it, listen, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe that there is pure water, as well as pure redeeming blood. For it came from the same side, from the same person, from the same God. I bear record that you might believe. Do you? God can sprinkle you with clean water, beloved, to cleanse you. The water that flowed out from a broken heart inside. Ooh, the uncleanness of people that breaks God's hearts. Oh, the impurity that's inside. Oh, the only way to cleanse people is to rupture the heart of God made man, so that we might know that the rock's been smitten and the water has flowed out, that we might be made clean. I'll sprinkle, in fact now in verse 25 of Ezekiel 36, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, he said. I'll do it. Glory be to God. I'll do it. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. The first great act and fact in this, beloved, is that God has to sprinkle us. I was in a place the other day, and before it was fit to be in, somebody came and said, oh, they went out and they got one of these sprays and they sprayed the air with it. The stench was vile. Before you could begin to touch anything, before you could have anything to do with it. This is it. God sprinkles clean water upon you. He does this before he can get his hands on you. Before he touches you, he comes, beloved, to sprinkle the clean water upon you, that you might be clean. Oh, you don't feel drops of water coming on you. You don't feel that. He's talking about the spiritual truth. And Jesus was virtually saying, oh, Father, Do you want them to have a new heart? I'll shed the blood and the water of my new pure heart, that you might be able to sprinkle all these profane, these unclean people, and make them clean. With my inside, you will make them clean. With what's been kept pure and holy inside me these 33 years, that they might be cleansed with a new manhood, that they might be cleansed with a new purity, that they might be made free from all their filthiness, all of it, all of it. Not a vestige left. Nothing. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Do you believe that word all that it says there? Do you believe that word all? Well, are you clean from all? Is all your filthiness gone? The filthiness of the imagination of your mind. The filthiness of your tongue. The filthiness of your habits. Has it gone? The filthiness with which you look on people out of your eyes. To feast on them. To do something filthy. Has it gone? From all your filthiness will I cleanse you. I'll sprinkle the clean water on you. You shall be clean. From all your idols, filthiness and idols are connected. Filthiness and idols are connected. Now, of course, that we've got an idol stuck up in our home, not an idol that you can see. That is, not carved in the accepted shape of the idol. Some people's idols are their cars, some are their homes, some are their televisions, some are their jobs, some are their figures, in the bank and otherwise. Some are their face, some's their hair. Some's the other sex. They're idols. Things they really worship. That is the things they think about most. And all the end of their life is unto it. And they're shaping the life for it. And reading the books about it. And going to the places where it's talked about. That's why we come to church, because we talk about Jesus. We don't worship an idol. Praise God. This is the great truth. Hallelujah. And Jesus says he'll purge you from all your idols. Glory, from all your filthiness, he'll cleanse you. Amen. Now look here, we're right at it. Amen. Glory. And you'll go back to the idols. You'll go back to it all, unless you get a new heart. God. It's what your heart is fixed on. Who your heart is fixed on. Amen. For as sure as you have an idol, my brother, my sister, my friend, it's in your heart. That's where your idol is. In your heart. You bow down there and you worship it. You shut your eyes for a period of time and you see it. With the eye of the mind. And you worship it. You spend your energy for it. And many I meet are exhausted and run and dip down into the ground and degenerate about it. But praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes away the idol. Amen. There are many, many people who would have had a new heart if they'd been prepared to let their idol go. If they were prepared for Jesus, the one that should take the place of that idol. If they're prepared for Jesus, all of Jesus, only Jesus. If they were, they'd soon have a new heart. Glory. If it wasn't Jesus and. But Jesus. Jesus. Glory. Glory. For the new hearts are for Jesus. And Jesus is for the new heart. Glory. Amen. You got a new heart. God says, I'll give you a new heart. And a new spirit will I put within you. You always tell me you've got a new spirit because you've got a new disposition. You've got a new attitude, and everybody will say you're a new person. Until that takes place, it's not happened. New disposition. The real change. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The real change. Oh, not to knock off a few habits that used to be a bit outrageously unclean. But a new heart. Glory. And a new spirit. Glory to his name. And God says, I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Take it away. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. Isn't this the trouble with this old heart, beloved? It's so hard. It's a hard lump of stone, really. Doesn't feel for anybody but yourself. Think about anybody else. Doesn't care. Not really. Hard, flinty. That's right. That's what God means. That stony heart inside. Talks about it as another figure, and it's just a stony ground, and he sows his seed on it, and it still seems all right for a start, and there's a sort of a hullabaloo and a kerfuffle, and there's a lot some joy, but it's not so long before it's all gone. Why? You're leaving, that's when you've got a stony, hard heart. And God hasn't really changed it. And he would have changed it. He would have changed it. He didn't beat in a heart on the earth and rupture it and shed its blood and its water for fun. Because he didn't mean it. He would have changed it. Only, you see, you had to cling on like grim death to your idol. You clung on hard, and as hard as you've clung to that, you've been hard against God. But he says, I'll take away that stony, hard heart right out of your glory. I'll give you a heart of flesh. Praise the name. And listen, on top of that, here they are, a new heart, a new spirit. Take away the hard heart, a heart of flesh. Listen, then he says, I'll put my spirit in it now. Now here's God's spirit coming in. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'll put my spirit within you. And from inside you, by my spirit, I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. God said, outside of pointing that child, now you're to do this, and you're to do that. It's useless. Useless. He said, I'll come in. But I can't come in to that old part. I can't come into that part. But this is what I'll do if you'll let me. I want to come in you. I want to be in you. I love you. I'll cause you. I'll be your power. I'll be your new will and volition. I'll cause you. I'll work your mind. I'll keep your imagination pure. I'll do it. Inside.
Oh, glory! This is what makes me preach that the Christian life is the easiest life in the world. People say it's hard to be a Christian. That's not true. You may have some hardships. That's a different matter. Hallelujah. That's right. It's not hard to be a human being, but you might sail on a hard ship if you're a sailor. Still a human being. No, it's not hard to be a human. The fact of the matter is, beloved, it's the easiest thing in the world to be a Christian. A Christian is a man that God is working. That's right. A Christian is a person that God has put a new heart in. A Christian is a person that's been given a different attitude. He's got no idols. He can't go wrong. His filthiness is gone. He's a pure man. He's the man that God wanted him to be. Amen. And God causes him to walk in all his statutes. It's God that says, you shall keep my judgments and do them. Right, that's a promise. That isn't, you've got to. He says, you shall. It's a promise to me. Of course you shall. Why will you keep his judgments? Well, because I'm inside. It's as simple. It's like kissing your hand. To try and be a Christian without this, it's agony. It's a penance. This is what he says. I'm up and I'm down and I'm in and I'm out and I'm round about. Well. Of course. It's a new heart you've got to get. Hallelujah. And when God gives a heart, it's complete. I'll give you a bit of one. God is making people, not just forgiving sins. God doesn't want to keep on going around clearing up your mess. God's making people. Sons, hallelujah. Like the early fathers, like the glorious church in the beginning. This is right. He's done it for me. He keeps on doing it. It's a constant thing. He'll do it for thee, friend. If you want him to. And he says, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. What land's that he gave to our early church fathers? What is it? What's the land? I'll tell you, the land is called the kingdom of God. They dwelled in God's kingdom on the earth. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. That's my land. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. When you dwell in the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom of light. When you dwell in the kingdom of heaven, well, it's just out of this world. It's not, I'm my affections set on things on the earth anymore. Read Colossians, Father Paul, if we like to call him this, wrote to us. You say, Father Paul, well, he said he was their father. You're right, he wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, you can have 10,000 teachers, I'm your father. He said he was. I begot you, he says, to God. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I've begotten anybody to God in this room by the grace of God, this is how you're to live. You're to come and live in the kingdom. You're to be pure. No filthiness in God's kingdom. No uncleanness anywhere in the kingdom of heaven. They don't empty sewage into the sea in the kingdom of heaven because there's no sea. Glory be to God. We're on a new basis. When he makes a new ark, he says there's not going to be any sea in it because they put the sewage there. That's the truth. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I'll save you, he says. You shall be my people. I will be your God. How about that? Who are you?
I'm one of the people of God.
Glory! You don't know many of them, do you? Why not? Because there aren't many who've got new hearts. That's why. I go around at conferences and I preach and talk to people and say, we never hear anybody else talk like this, they say. Nobody ever preaches about the new heart. Where we come from? Where do you come from? Oh, Pentecostals. Where do you come from? Oh, we come from Evangelical. FIEC. Where do you come from? Brethren. Where do you come from? The way we all go around, never hear it. God forgive us. Are you trying to be a Christian without a new heart? You might as well try to be the man in the moon. Doesn't exist. And neither this imaginary Christian that you're trying to be. This is the only Christian. A man that God makes all over again, starting at the heart. That's right. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of God. Oh, I'd like to go on, talk all about this. Oh, let's go on, shall we? In verse 29, I must see this again because I said it, this new heart, right in the midst of cleanness. It's all surrounded by cleanness. It's all purity. And he says, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. Glory. Amen. Oh, clean, clean, cleanse, save from all uncleanness. And God saves me. He saves me from all uncleanness. All uncleanness. The world's full of it. The devil's trying to push it into me everywhere. Everywhere. But he saves me from all uncleanness. Hallelujah. Saves me from it. This is the life. It's a life of constantly being saved from uncleanness. We're in a filthy world. Filthy. Absolutely filthy. Mind you, keep it out of the church. Can't have filthiness here. Not suggested anyway. Not by talk, not by look, not by dress. They can't have it. Not by habits. No, no, no. We're saved from uncleanness. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We can't have a fountain of uncleanness in the church. You mustn't have a fountain of uncleanness inside you. Now look, my friends, my young or my older friends here. It is God's plan to save you from uncleanness from within and keep you from uncleanness from without. That you and I might walk in this glorious, glorious way with the Lord. Oh, it's sweet and it's wonderful and beloved. Beloved, it's what God says he will do. Look down again. Verse 24. I will. And again, and will. In verse 24. Verse 25, I will or will I? Again, the end of the verse, I will. 26, I will. I will. I will. I will. Verse 27, I will. Oh, glory. Ye shall. Why? Because I will. That's right. God says, I will and you shall. That's the new relationship. Glory. As soon as God's will moves, I shall do it. I shall be it. What a relationship. What a life. I will, you shall. Amen. By the Lord's grace, I will drive that rover. And you passengers shall all go home. Just like that. I will drive it. By the Lord's grace, you shall go all over. That's right. I will, you shall. This is what God's saying. I will, ye shall. Oh, glory. Isn't this a precious, precious thing? And this is what James speaks of. I've been begotten of his will.
of his will. And then, in case somebody might be thinking, well, this is all right, you know, it's great promises for Israel and all that future, I want you to look with me now into Isaiah, chapter 52. We're nearly finished. And in the end of chapter 52, speaking about the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. I know we all know Isaiah 53, don't we? Who shall believe our report? Now look at the end of chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. This is God's servant now that's been exalted. Glory to the throne. Extol! Yes, we're all preaching him, talking about Jesus. And be very high. Hallelujah. Listen, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Not just the old Jews. Many nations he's sprinkling. He's sprinkling in England. He's wanting to sprinkle at Rora. Amen. This glorious, exalted and extolled and very high Jesus. Oh, his face was so marred. His form was shattered. The spear was plunged into his side. And so shall he sprinkle many nations. Is he sprinkling you tonight? If I said to you, man, woman, is he sprinkling you? Are you clean? Have you got a pure inside? Have you? Have you got a new heart dwelling in a world of cleanness inside you, I mean? Have you? Fountain of purity inside of you. Have you? Come on, beloved. You've got to start here with a new heart. You must. You want his spirit to be inside you? He'll only dwell in a pure heart. He'll work on your impure heart. This is what deceives so many. They're worked on by the Spirit. They have experiences of the Spirit. But for the Spirit to dwell in them for his eternal home, very few, very few. That is my considered opinion, traveling through the length and breadth of the land. Experiences, this and that and the other. But a pure heart with God by his Spirit dwelling inside. He says, listen, that's how I'm going to sanctify my great name. Jesus. You say you belong to Jesus. We sing it. Now I belong to Jesus. We all sing. Do you? Oh well, I've decided for him. I've been baptized. A taint doesn't sprinkle your heart clean. Lord, glory, a new heart. Sanctify that great name, oh God, if I profane it. If I've lived a common life. Leave alone a sinful one, if it's only been a common life. Lord, I want to live for thee, only for Jesus, all for thee. Do you? Now listen, beloved, my young friends, when you first began to feel the pull of God around your heart, if you didn't come here just to find some boyfriend or some girlfriend, or because it's a nice place in the country, and it is, and there are some very nice boys and girls here, But if you came here because you felt a pull of God, if you came here because you felt or heard the call of God in you, he's here, it's here. And if I spoke to Malcolm and Christine and asked them to answer up now, they'd say this: it's so that you might be a new creature and be made different than you are. You see, made different from what you are. And only God can do it. And the way he'll do it is that he'll give you a new heart. Because you come, he makes you believe in Jesus, that glorious one. And the name is preached to you. And you can come. And you can turn from all the other idle things that have been keeping you. Things you've fed your souls on. The things that have pleased you. Perhaps of your own lusts and sins. Or your own ways. Or your own powers. Him or her. Come to Jesus alone. That's right. Put a new heart in you. Put a new spirit in you. Little Chinese man came to a conference. He's been coming to the conferences for some time. Dear Joseph. Went to him. We got toward the end of the conference. I believe I said it publicly. He said such a lot of things. He shouted and praised and gloried and danced and clapped. And he wept. Praise God, he wept. And I said to him, Joseph, you're a different man from what you were last year. His countenance was open. His little Chinese eyes seemed to be all wide open. God can. Changed. Utterly changed. Glory. You can only be changed when God changes your heart. When he changes your heart, he changes your nature. When he changes your nature, he changes you as a person. And when you're changed as a person, you're changing all your personality. The way you strike other people, what they see in you, smell about you, hear of you. I understand this precious little soul jumping and darting and clapping, beaming all over her face. I'm clean, she said. I feel clean. She shouted it out. Of course she did. Nobody knew how filthy she felt. Nobody knew how unclean she was inside. Wasn't advertised. She didn't send a letter before describing what she was like. She came. God knew. God drew her. God spoke to her. God sees she wanted joy for misery. God saw she wanted joy for misery. God saw she wanted purity for uncleanness. Perhaps she didn't have a clue she could have it. Perhaps this clean, filthy, cloying rottenness of her own inward imagination and thought had sickened her to the death. Till the end, she wanted to be pure. Do you? Are you pure? All clean inside. Are you like they used to be? Are you dwelling in the land that your fathers dwelt in? Are you? Oh, where Paul lived. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven, me. Talk about living in the kingdom of heaven. No, I was caught up to the third. He said, you may not be caught up to the third heaven, but there's a kingdom of heaven, beloved. There's a great kingdom of God. Amen. Well, I've got to stop now because the river's flowing at full speed. And we'll go for another hour. To live here. Glory. Glory. Jesus.
We sang it this morning. My heart is fixed on thee.
Amen.
Waiting for all thou hast for me. Jesus, my eyes are unto thee.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I said to you tonight, God's giving new hearts for old, and you know you haven't got one, but you've come again. Come on, I'm asking you. Do you believe God will give you a new heart and keep his word to you? If you're prepared to quit your sin, if you're prepared to stop it all, if you're prepared to come and let God keep his promise to you, I will. You come. You come and kneel here. You come and let's pray here. My prayers can't give you, but I'd love to pray with you. Are you clean? Trusting on Bible promises or favorite verses? What are you trying to do? Have you got it? A new, pure heart of God inside you. Now, beloved, it's got to be given. You can't work up to it. It's got to be given. It's a gift. New spirit, you'll be so changed that your friends won't know you. They may become your enemies after that, but that don't matter. You'll be in the land of your fathers. You'll be in the kingdom of God. You'll be in the family of your great heavenly Father. You'll be in the purity of the life stream of Jesus, the water that came from his own side, kept unto that, put in scriptures for us to see it. There's the fountain. I know that I write these things and record this that you might believe, said John. You can be clean. You can be pure. Let's pray.